Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 84. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I am doing fine, and during that introduction, you cut out several times, so be aware.
All right. Well, if I keep cutting out, let me know, and I will call in on my phone.
I'll give you a secret code. Like, you're cutting out. You're cutting out.
Well, usually it does that when I had the printer running, which I did earlier, but I rebooted, so it shouldn't be, you know, cutting out. But we'll figure it out.
So another day in North Alabama. We dropped down into the high 50s today, so I was chilly.
Oh, man.
All I could deal with. The coots were out there looking at me like, "What is all this cold weather? This is crazy." But people have been asking about progress with my broken hands, and you know, the fact is, I'm down to 5 weeks left of physical therapy. But they're telling me that it's time to start accepting the fact that my right thumb is only going to have about 1/3 of the range of motion that it used to have, and the left side of my left hand, the finger is going to be crooked and it's going to hurt and I'm going to have trouble twisting and all that kind of stuff. So both hands look like they're going to have permanent limitations. But I'm working on the piano and trying to get as much of my playing ability back as I can. And I've also got a spinal neurosurgery scheduled for the end of this month, which is going to kind of mess me up in a little bit of ways too. But it's all a process, and I'm getting there, and hopefully I'll be playing music again pretty soon. But I just had an email come through from Marsha Fox. She's having a big sale. Fresh Ink Group member Marsha Fox. She's got virtually everything she's written. It's going to be on sale for 99 cents this month. Her Dead Horse Canyon series, both books that are in it. The first one is 99 cents. The second one is $1.99. Most of her ebooks, working down like her Star Trails Tetralogy series, 99 cents for each book, or $3.49 for the entire four book set. And then she's got Hubita's Guide to Basic Astrology, which I believe is her bestseller, a very popular book, $1.24 on sale. And she's got a book on the Family History Fun Factor, how to develop your own family history and write about it and do things with it and stuff. That's on sale for $1.49. So, this just came through. Marsha, I want to remind you, you're a Fresh Ink Group member. Send Sam this stuff, and we'll put it in the newsletter, too. Let everybody know. So if you're a Marsha Fox fan or you need to become one, get out there and check out some of her books. They're very inexpensive right now. A good way to try them out, and make sure you leave a review.
Definitely. Reviews are important. And speaking of promotions and things like that, we have one of our own authors, the Country Music Hall of Fame legendary drummer of the country supergroup Alabama, Mark Herndon. He was on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. So, and that episode is up. You can go check it out in the archives. This is at now-hear-this.net. And just look for episode 421. Now-hear-this.net, episode 421. And Mark's an interesting guy. We've had him on the show here, and we're going to probably have him on again. So go over there and check it out. He's talking about a lot of really cool stuff, behind-the-scenes things that he was involved with the band Alabama.
Now, today's Fresh Ink Group newsletter has the link to that podcast as well, and we'll put it in for another week or two as also. So please share that with people. Let's get some numbers going for this Now Hear This Entertainment podcast.
Yeah.
Check out FreshInkGroup.com for everything publishing. Meet scores of authors. Discover hundreds of great books, plus audiobooks, podcasts, videos, trailers, free stories, free manuscript evaluations, and more. That's FreshInkGroup.com.
Got a manuscript you want the pros to see? FreshInkGroup.com's homepage has a free evaluation button. Share your best work with the members at Fresh Ink Group.
All right.
So, we've been talking quite a bit about the second Ort Chronicle book by Robert G. Willis-Croft, which is called The Ort Federation, To the Stars, The Second Ort Chronicle. And that book is now in pre-sale. It's out there in print. It's in e-books, in all the e-book formats, Kobo, Nook, Kindle, you name it, we've got it. And it's also on sale for 99 cents until the release date, which I believe is March 24th. I'd have to look that up and verify it. But for 99 cents, you can order a copy of it in advance for 99 cents, be one of the first people to receive it, and then watch the price go up for everybody else. So get your order in right now. That's Robert G. Willis-Croft. It's the second book in his Ort Chronicle series. The first book was Icicle, very popular, and you can find a really good a review of that book in today's newsletter. Plus, you can watch the video for it. But the second book is now out in presale. Get out there and place your order.
Yeah. Tonight's guest, we're going to get to her here in a few minutes. She has a new book, Eerie Charms of the Short Story, Fantasy, Mystery, and Horror. And that's going into presale any minute now. I mean, this is like we're
tomorrow.
Right there, like tomorrow. So, I mean, it's at any point. So keep that in mind. I did the editing on this, and I can tell you, and I'm not just tooting this horn because she's our guest tonight and she's a Fresh Ink author. I'm saying this because she's a stellar writer. She tells a good story, and this is a collection of some amazing short stories. I was excited to get this opportunity because I had edited her previous novel, and that was really cool. Now, this one here, this was short stories, and she's a really good writer. She tells a good story. So, Eerie Charms of the Short Story, Fantasy, Mystery, and Horror by Patricia A. Guthrie, and that is on pre-sale any minute. So check it out tomorrow and grab your copy. And if you want to partake in tonight's cool program, you want to talk to the guest, you want to get your voice out there on the radio and say, hey, everybody, or if you want to throw out a question or a comment on Twitter, here's how you do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group. Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of FreshInkGroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? Yeah. Now, we have lots of different platforms that we publish through, especially the e-books and doing the worldwide distribution and stuff. So we get deposits of royalties in the business checking account for the company. On a regular basis, pretty much almost every day, sometimes as many as four or five a day. And sometimes
millions
they're just
a couple of dollars,
you know, here and there from little odd sources, you know, hey, sold an ebook in Indonesia, you know, or something like that. But we had one this week where there was a deposit that landed in there that was like, holy, what, huh? Look at that number. Where is that coming from? And I had to go look it up and verify it. And it was like, wow, it was print book sales. And it was probably the biggest deposit I've ever seen. So somebody's out there selling some books. So I went over and looked it up. And I've become a bit of a tradition on this show of telling you who our top five print bestsellers of the week have been. And it's getting to where it's not a surprise because the number one and two slots, again, are the hardcover followed by the softcover of There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation, Descendants of Green Pond After the Emancipation. And this is nonfiction. It's a large size book with beautiful color photographs throughout. And it's about a whole lot of black folks who grew up in Green Pond, South Carolina, and it went on to accomplish great things. And it's the story about them doing that and where they are now and whatnot. It's written by Abigail Hugenny. And she's an excellent writer, a historian. one of the people who's in the book and who grew up in Green Pond. So we highly recommend that book. Again, I'm surprised at how well it's selling for something that I thought was a little bit more niche than mainstream, but it's kicking butt. And here's a fun one. Number three slot this week, moving up from number four last week, Miley in the Mirror, which is the second book of the three-book Greek mythology series by young Ellie Collins. And she wrote the first book, Daisy Bold and Beautiful, at age 11. She wrote the second book, Miley in the Mirror, at age 12. And then at 13, she wrote Matt, Max, and Sweet Sarah, which is the third book in the series. Book number two, for some reason, has been taking off these last couple weeks. Good for her. And then number four, again, is one that keeps surprising me, The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant, The History, People, and Stories of CFW Construction, which was a company based in Fayetteville, Tennessee. Now, there's drama, there's tension, there's photo, there's lots of photos and historic
criminal activity.
Criminal activity, indictments,
plane
people
crashes.
Went to prison, plane crash. You know, it's not like just a dry history. There's a lot of exciting things in this story and a lot of how it shaped the town and the community and the people around it as well. So it's a great book, and we put this out in 2016. It's 2022 right now, and it's number four on our print bestseller list this week. So I don't know who's doing what, but keep doing it. And then, of course, I'll bet you can guess what number five is, Beam. We just put a website up for her.
Yeah, Jenny Wong's Girl Wears Those Shoes.
Girl Wears Those Shoes is our number five print bestseller for this week. So congratulations, people. Keep selling those books.
And speaking of Girl Wears Those Shoes, we are currently working on, I am producing the audiobook for that. And it is coming along nicely. And great voiceover artist doing that. So keep your ears open on this show and your eyes open on the newsletter for updates on this and when it will be available. And Stephen and I are also co-producing, working on The Ort Federation, To the Stars, the second Ort Chronicle from Robert G. Willowscroft. And that one's coming along nicely. And we, as a matter of fact, we were working on it earlier this evening before showtime. So, again, keep your ears open on this show and your eyes open on the newsletter.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com. beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
Check out scores of Fresh Ink Group book trailers in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, and spread the word.
All right. Now, let's move on to tonight's guest. Patricia A. Guthrie is the author of romantic suspense novels, mysteries, short stories, and nonfiction articles. Her published works include In the Arms of the Enemy, Water Lilies Over My Grave, and Willed Accidents Happen. She offers short stories on Amazon.com, in Skyline Magazine, and Affaire Decor, as well as nonfiction articles in The Collie Cassette, and online Nature Journal. Her first Fresh Ink Group novel is out now, Legacy of Danger, a supernatural thriller that rocks. Her new collection of shorts, Eerie Charms of the Short Story, Fantasy, Mystery, and Horror, is going into pre-sale this week, probably tomorrow. An accomplished musician and singer, Patricia has appeared in opera companies in Europe and the United States and performed as a church soloist and taught music. An avid animal lover, she owns a horse, two black cats, and as many as four collies. Pat's shown horses in quarter horse and local horse shows, and collies in obedience classes at dog shows. And she even adds a dog show in one of her short stories. Find many of her experiences in her books. And with that, welcome to the show, Patricia. You got a lot of irons in the fire.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Pat.
Hey.
So welcome to the show. How are you? How have you been doing? You've been on before. It's been a while.
Yes, I have, and I enjoyed every minute of it. My sister was on the show with me when the last time I was on, and we had a great time. She still giggles over it.
Well, she can call in again tonight.
No, she can't. She's got to go to bed at 7 o'clock.
Oh,
but that's
okay.
Another story. That, yeah, she's got a problem. So.
Now, I was proofreading the newsletter that goes out that went out this morning at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning last night. So it's a little too late to call you. But I knew a couple of things had gone on that you had moved recently, and I didn't know if that what your proximity is to your horse still. And I remember last time you were on, I think you had just lost one of your cats. So in the newsletter, I cut your bio down basically to say that you've got a horse, Daisy, and that you love animals. In the bio he just read, lists the horse, collies, and things like that. How about you clarify for us where we are on the whole animal tip right now?
Well, right now, I have two black cats. One's a tuxedo, a little girl named Kitsy Kitty. And the other one is a big Black Panther-type cat called Archie. Those are the cats that I have. I had dogs that I used to show in Collie Specialties and, open dog shows and do a lot of training with them. I just love them. But I don't have any collies anymore. They kind of drifted out of my life as they passed away. Where I'm living now, I can have my two cats, and I could have a small dog if I wanted it. But right now, I think the two cats are just fine.
I'd like to see the looks on their faces when you show up with the horse.
I'd like to see management's face when they show up with a horse. Yeah, Dixie's a nice little mare. She's a paint mare. She's been in some horse shows. She's part of the Pony Club of America. This was for kids. It's a program for children. And they show all over the country for points and for other stuff like that. But right now, she's part of the school is Generations Equestrian Center, and she's part of their school. I don't get out to see her as much as I'd like to. I don't get out of my apartment as much as I'd like to, because I just moved in and I'm still trying to figure stuff out here.
Well, tell us about that move.
Yeah, you just moved in. Tell us a little bit more about this apartment and where you're at and everything's going on daily.
It's on the second floor of a place called Hanover Place in Tinley Park.
This is Chicago area, right?
It's the Chicago, it's the Chicago area. It's in the south suburbs, or southwest suburbs, I guess. It's south of 80, and it's west of, I don't know.
That other road.
South of 80, what did I say? It's in Tinley Park.
Well, Beam and I were in Chicago not about 4 or 5 months ago, and we wound up in the south suburbs basically just driving around. So you've described it perfectly. We didn't know where we were.
Okay.
It was a fun time there.
Yeah. Well, my little girl is in Beaton, so that's pretty far south. It's about 40 minutes from here.
So what prompted the move? Is this a downsizing, a simplifying, a making life easier?
All of the above. It's definitely been downsizing because I downsized a lot when I moved here. I'm still working on that. I'm in a one-bedroom apartment. I came from a two-bedroom house in Park Forest. I just didn't want the upkeep of the house anymore. It got to the point where I was feeling my age, I guess. And I don't want to have to deal with all of the upkeep of the house. So this seemed like the best choice for me. And I wanted a retirement community because I didn't want to be all by myself in that house. People are friendly in the community. I mean, can't say they're not friendly. But as far as any really, really close friends, when my boyfriend, Bruce, passed away, I realized that I didn't have any real close ties anymore. So I figured this was a good time to move into a retirement community. And I'm just still setting up shop here, really. I have some friends of Bruce's have been over here and helping me put up pictures and, you know, things like that.
Oh, that's nice. Now, you had just lost Bruce recently, the last time you were on the show, and we really didn't get to talk about it. So we'd like to do that now, if you'd like to. Tell us about Bruce. You know, how long did you know him, and what kind of person he was? And we understand that this is a hard thing to deal with.
It is. It's a very hard thing to deal with. It's still a hard thing to deal with. I was introduced to them, by my veterinarian. That's right. He was a dog person. And he took me out for dinner with the birds.
Huh.
And Marion Bruce and I became really close, all like zing. It's like chemistry, you know, between the three of us. And so we did everything together. We showed in dog shows. They introduced me to collies, and I got my first collie through them. And then they had a stud there called Raz and Imp, and I had the daughters of both of them. So that was exciting. Going to dog shows, we went all over. We went to the Ohio Collie Club Specialty. We went to Canada. I got a title from obedience title from Canada. Just all over. It was wonderful.
So did Bruce live in the Chicago area too?
And he lives in Steger, which isn't too far from Park Forest. Like, they were about 5-10 minutes away tops.
And this was, I believe, a long-term illness. So he declined. It was not entirely unexpected.
No, it was not unexpected, no. Mary passed away in early 2000s. I can't remember. It was 2003, 2004, something like that. And Bruce and I got closer after that. So
yeah.
we just did everything together. But we stopped showing the dogs. Because Mary was kind of the person, you know, that... Oh, well, I can't think of the word.
The instigator?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah,
it is a good word.
The instigator.
Or the organizer.
Yeah, that too. I met a lot of friends through her.
That's good.
I learned a lot about dog training with them and through them and the dog obedience schools that I went to. Learned a lot about it and about the dog business and the horse business. I'd learned already. I still had horses.
You have our sympathy. You're going to miss Bruce for a long time and have a lot of great memories to sustain you, I hope.
Well, when Tom Fath came over today, Tom and his wife Rose came over to help me with the pictures and stuff. And I got some things from Bruce's apartment. Yeah, we had to clean out Bruce's apartment.
Oh, that's a hard thing to do.
Hard because I've just cleaned out my house.
Yeah.
And so I was at, you know, the end of my tether. But what was I going to say?
I don't know. I'm having trouble picturing you on a tether.
The end of my tether?
I didn't know Patricia A. Guthrie could be tethered.
No, not too easily, no.
Yeah.
But Mary, actually, Mary was a dear friend. She got me started in writing.
Oh, good for her.
Writing.
Good for you.
Yes, she did. And we had a friend who we thought was being abused by her husband. I don't think she was, but, you know, there was just certain signs. She was really ill with multiple sclerosis. So that was probably the problem. But Mary and I got together and decided I was going to write. We got together and decided I was going to write a novel.
There you go.
And anything, you know. But I decided I was going to write this novel called Mass Murder, which, by the way, after about 20 years, I'm proofreading it now for the 100th time.
And I'm looking forward to publishing it.
Oh, yeah, Mass Murder. I think it's got some good things in it, but I still can't get through that first chapter. First chapters. For me, the worst things in the whole world.
Well, right now, Beam's got some Twitter to get to, but let's roll a commercial, Beam, and then when we come back, catch us up on Twitter.
All righty.
Now, from science fiction master Robert G. Williscroft, the Oort Federation, to the stars, the second Oort Chronicle. As the Oort Federation becomes a major force in the solar system, Braxton Thorpe passes the Federation chairmanship to former U.S. President John Butler. Thorpe's group offers humanity virtual immortality, but Isidor Orlov and his Udakhni Enterprises oppose their every move. While Thorpe's group terraforms Mars for more living space, the Mars Reds prove formidable as resistors. If the Asterian Starship fighter pilots are released, will they align with Phoenix or Udakhni? And who will develop the right FTL technology? In this tense space adventure, Thorpe, his team, and Max the Tabby Cat travel to Proxima Centauri and beyond to the Aster system, 84 light years distant. Will Thorpe bring together humans and Asterians in their quest for intergalactic travel? Will long life prove more than mere humans can handle? Grab Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, the first Oort Chronicle, and continue the journey with the Oort Federation to the stars. Proudly published in all print, digital, and sensory-enhanced audiobooks by Fresh Ink Group.
Get it now.
Get it. Yeah.
All right. So over here on Twitter, we've got a few tweets here. Marlena Smith is out there, and she's promoting the show. The Voice of Indie podcast is live tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. So then you get that. Dr. Helen Burrell said, so little space, so little time to list all her talents. Such an omnifaceted, creative, Patricia A. Guthrie, multi-genre novels, short stories, mysteries, and an opera singer, music teacher too. Visit her cozy and creativity inviting environs. So thank you, Dr. Helen. And we've got Verwayne Greenho. He says it's cool and raining here tonight. That's down in Florida. But we are in the audience with some freshly popped popcorn, right? And a 12-pack of Diet Coke. Let's go. Well, here we are. Robert G. Williscroft, his book we just heard the commercial for, he says it's 12 degrees and snowing here in Centennial. Well, we had a high of 41 today, so it was kind of nice after being coming out of a few days of 20-something. And then Verwayne says, sorry to hear that, Stephen, talking about your upcoming surgery and whatnot and the range of mobility in your thumb. We wish you the best and hope you exceed expectations.
Thank you, Verwayne. And
now,
Lisa?
Robert Williscroft has a question for Patricia. Patricia, he wants to know, how smart are your cats? My black cat may be the dumbest cat ever. So how smart are your cats?
Well, they can be highly intelligent when they want to be. They can play dumb. Cats are great at playing dumb. I do know that. And that might be the problem. But animals aren't just like people. There's some people that are really clever and some people who aren't. And you can train cats. They're a little more difficult because they don't have this I'm all things to all people type attitude that dogs do. Well, maybe that's not true. But anyway. I think cats are highly intelligent animals.
They are.
They just choose how much they want to share it with you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they let you know when they want to be petted. they let you know in certain terms when they don't want to be petted. So there you go.
Yeah. Now, Verwain Greenhill, he threw in another comment here. He says, Lisa and I understand your grief. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we hope that better times ahead. Yeah, and speaking of cats,
thank you.
With the training of that, I like to watch America's Got Talent from time to time, and there was a woman on there that had trained cats. You always see the trained dog routines, and she actually had a trained cat crew that came on there, and they were pretty good. They didn't make it too far because, you know, the cats decided, you know, they weren't going to work that full time. So, but, you know, when it did work, it was kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, it is. But I didn't see that particular episode of America's Got Talent.
This is a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three years ago, but I think they made it through to the second round and then they were done because the cats just were like, you know what, screw this. Meow, we're done.
Yeah, that was your cats.
That's the cats.
Yeah, that famous TV commercial where they're out in the wilderness trying to herd cats. Every time I see that, I wonder how did they shoot that? Because it has to be a composite of, I don't know, there's like 200 cats. There's got to be 200 separate shots that they managed to composite in order to make that thing work, because I don't know how they got those cats to act like that.
Yeah.
So, Beam, you want to roll another commercial here and then get back on to talking to Pat?
Yeah.
Rural community in the Lowcountry along Ocean Highway, Green Pine, South Carolina, has long lacked cultural and educational opportunity for its young people's future success. Many have gone on to serve in the highest levels of education, government, public service, elected office, business, and medicine. With so much success against the odds, surely there must be something in the water. Abigail Hugeni chronicles the impact just 42 of Green Pond's children have gone on to make in the world. All full-color editions include photos from around town and local translations of down-home fame. These inspirational stories prove that, regardless of one's background, we can all find our own path toward greatness. An excellent reference, keepsake, gift, and addition to every library. There Must Be Something in the Water, anthology of the fourth generation, Descendants of Green Pond, After the Emancipation, is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Fresh Ink Group's number one print bestseller right now, number one and number two.
And number two, yeah, indeed. So, Patricia, I find this fascinating aspect of your life is that you were a singer, and you've traveled and you've done these incredible things. Now, for those who may not have caught you the first time on this show, share a little bit about that with our listeners.
Well, I always wanted to be an opera singer. I'm going to say I was born. I think my mother instilled a lot of that in me. She'd play Wagner all the time. And I got to the point where I was dancing around the living room. And I was indoctrinated to classical music from the very beginning. And I had a voice. So when I got into high school, I was in, not only the choir and lead club and stuff like that, but after high school, I went to Manhattan School of Music, which is a top-notch music school in New York City, and got a master. I got a bachelor's in voice and a master's in voice and opera theater. So that was pretty cool. Did a lot of acting. Sang in a bunch of operas at the school, and then while I was there, I auditioned for a man named Herbert Groff, who was the intendant of the opera house in Geneva, the Grand Theater in Geneva, Switzerland. And he invited me to come be part of his opera Centre Lyrique, which was more of an IFBA school, but it fit into where I was. So I got there and I did some roles. I did Clorinda in Cenerentola, and I was one of the flower maidens in Parsifal, and just some really neat stuff. I was Miss Wordsworth in Albert Herring. Oh my goodness, that was fun. And then from there, I auditioned for a little company in Germany called Coburg, Landes Theater Coburg. And I got a contract with them, and so I went and sang with them for a year. I did some really nice roles with them. And then I got very homesick, really homesick. I just couldn't bear it anymore. And so I came home. What can I say? Yeah, I did. But I did sing with some major important singers around the world.
Drop some names.
Oh, Teresa Berganza, Fernando Corena. I sang with Beverly Sills in Grant Park in Virginia and Traviata. Beverly Sills.
Wow.
Yeah. I said, I didn't say who.
Ooh. Everybody knows Beverly.
I was in a chorus in La Boheme with Luciano Pavarotti.
Ooh.
That was pretty...
We're impressed.
And
we're very impressed.
That man ate a whole chicken on stage.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that here he was munching on this chicken. I think that might have been during a rehearsal. Why, that was fun.
And I've seen pictures of him doing that, too.
Yeah.
Holding that piece of chicken.
Wow.
Just think the other people that I worked with.
So you sang with all the greats except Ozzy Osbourne, huh?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No. Never sang with him.
No.
So are you still singing? Are you singing now? What are you doing with the voice?
Well, I was when I came to Chicago, and I was at Lyric Opera in Chicago for a while, for a couple of years. It was around that time that I decided that this was not a career that I really wanted to have. I was lonely. I did sing with, I was a soloist with St. James Cathedral, which is a major Episcopal church in Chicago. And I was one of their soloists, and that was wonderful. Oh, my God, that was wonderful. But after that, I just drifted. I don't know, Russian, and sometimes that really kicks me into 0 degrees, kicks me down.
Hmm.
So
singing make you feel better when you're feeling depressed?
I think it does. The actual singing part, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Being on stage, performing, I think it does. But it's gotten less and less enthusiastic. I was singing in a small church in Park Forest. I was their cantor, which is nice. But right now, with all the sinus problems and stuff, it just coats my vocal cords, and I really can't sing much at all.
Mm.
So there you go.
Well, do you have a favorite experience when you were out there singing and touring, or one that you're most proud of, or something that stands out to you?
Yeah. Well, I got bravoed when I was singing in Cenerentola with some major stars. Bravo! Oh my God, that's for me?
Wow. Cool.
Fantastic.
I think one of the fun things that I remember, it wasn't fun, you know, at the time because I was very inexperienced. I was inexperienced as far as traveling. I knew where I was going and how to get there, which was nice. But I flew Icelandic Airlines into Luxembourg. It might have been Luxembourg, Belgium, Luxembourg. And they confiscated my passport. They're going to confiscate everybody who didn't have a return ticket. So I had to get a return ticket. And then I traveled to Switzerland by train with the French army, the French National Army. Oh, my God. They were so cute.
They were cute? That's not the word
they
I expected.
Adorable.
Adorable. Not again, not the word I expected.
They were so cute. You know, they were. and then I got to, when I got to Luxembourg, oh, that's another thing. When I got to Luxembourg and I got into the main center of town, the hotel that I had booked reservation on didn't have my booking. So I was in this strange city that I knew nobody or nothing. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And then I met this guy. He was a Hasidic Jew. And I have pictures of him. He was so nice. He took me to a bed. Oh, yeah, that was after I got stung by the bee. I got stung by the bee in the middle of this island, in the middle of really heavy traffic flowing both ways. And this guy was standing next to me, and I started to cry. And he said, you know, he said, I'm staying at this bed and breakfast, and, you know. So, and back in the 60s, you could do that, you know. So I went with him to this bed and breakfast, and I stayed there overnight. And then the next day, I took a train for Switzerland, from Geneva.
Wow, quite an adventure, yeah.
Oh, it was. When I look back on it, it seems like quite an adventure when I was going through it. I was scared to death, I think. Maybe not quite as much as I should have been. But it was an adventure, and I was looking at it as an adventure. So,
yeah.
My sense of humor that has gotten me out of a lot of trouble.
So, Ben, all right, anything on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump over to Twitter. We got a few of these tweets are piling up. So, Verwayne Greenhalley says, my sister always said that cats train their humans. I've heard that, too. Marlena Smith says, it's lovely hearing Patricia on your show and learning about her life. And she says, I love my cat. I've had him about 8 years. They're such majestic creatures. Yes, they are. And they're also end at times and self-centered,
they're better than the rest of us, and they know it, you know.
Yeah.
So you want to roll a commercial here and see if we can scare up some Patricia A. Guthrie book maybe this time?
Sure.
Ooh.
You are listening to the Voice of Indie podcast. Elena Dukani inherits her family's castle in Romania, a land dipped in myths, folklore, and the legendary Walking Dead. The local proverb serves as a warning. Do not speak badly of the devil, because you cannot know to whom you will belong. When she's attacked by an international assassin, only her deceased husband and her ex-boyfriend's live presence can protect her on her journey to the mountainous region of Transylvania. But that's not the only problem troubling Elena. Who is that boy invading her dreams? And what really happened to a priceless gem-crusted silver cross buried by an earthquake in the 15th century? Who's stalking Elena? Who wants her dead and why? Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie is a paranormal romantic thriller with a deep mystery and plenty of suspense. It'll haunt you in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats worldwide. Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Ooh.
Yeah. So before we go on, listeners, you can call in. If you got questions or comments, call in and speak to tonight's guest, 516-453-9902. That's 6-453-9902. Call in and let yourself be heard. Now, Patricia, I did the editing on Legacy of Danger, and then I ended up review, and in the review I said it was one of the best novels that I read of 2021. Loved it. Where did the whole idea for this come from? Because it's very intricate and layered. Where did this come from?
Well, good question. I've always
ghost?
Been a fan of Dracula.
The ghost brought it to you?
What's that?
I said the ghosts brought it to you?
Sort of. They kind of infiltrated. This was about the fourth or fifth edition of this book that, draft after draft after draft after draft until I finally worked out what I really wanted to do with it. But it came from the Dracula things. And I just love the Dracula story, so I decided to update it a little bit and not have it vampires at all, but drug dealers. And and then the romantic suspense between the hero and heroine. Well, I needed conflict in there between them, so I made up that part. I don't know. I was reading a lot of romantic suspense at that time. Well, I still am. There was another thing. Back in the 90s, a writing friend, had this workshop going on where they would put in a tease every week. They would give you a topic. Like one week it was green. Write something about green. Write something about automobiles. Write something about boom, 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 boom. And you had a deadline. You know, you had to have it done by, I don't know, it was Friday night or Saturday night or something like that. So one of them, I know, was a Halloween prompt. And they had a whole, like, the list is like 20 things to include in your short story. So I did. And you'll find that actually on the list of short stories in Eerie Charms. I'm trying to think of the name of it. The Black Rose or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's kind of where I got that story from. And then I decided I really wanted to go on with that. So that was the second novel I wrote. First one to be published, because Matt Berger still isn't published.
And the Fresh Ink Group edition is the second time this book has been put out, right? Except that it's been edited now and upgraded quite a bit.
Yeah. It was put out before. I don't really have much to say about that, except that this is a really nice edition and a beautiful cover.
I like that cover.
And I love the cover for Eerie Charms. It's beautiful. I really like what you did with that. With Fresh
cool.
Ink did too.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
So, Beam, you want to roll another commercial?
Sure. Where are we at here? Okay.
Elena Dukani inherits her
sounds
family's
like the same
castle
one.
In Romania. A land dipped in myth.
Yep.
Yeah, let's go to girl.
Got
aspiring young Chinese immigrant, GGO, survives by working as a stripper, but she strives for true success in the U.S. real estate industry. Navigating this highly competitive business is tough, especially when her only support comes from the deeply flawed man she loves and her old cohorts from the strip club. Issues of betrayal and trust, loyalty and commitment complicate her goals, even as one lesbian friend adds new dimensions to her understanding of love versus desire. Then the market crashes and financial turmoil threatens to rob GGO of all she has achieved. Can she find new ways to chase her dreams and still manage to keep her clothes on? Or might she find a better reason to take them off? Girl Wears Those Shoes is a tale of love and power. The story of one woman who wants to make the world her own, if only she can figure out how.
proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Girl Wears Those Shoes is available in all hardcover, softcover, and all digital formats worldwide.
Yeah, another good book.
Check out that video on YouTube. Like all of these commercials that we're playing, there's a video versions over there. Make sure you check them out. Like them, share them, post a comment, write checks, send them to us, whatever you can think of in order to show your approval.
And just letting everybody know at the start of this commercial, I'm looking at a small screen here with about more than a dozen of these files all stacked one on top of each other. So these buttons are really tiny and they kind of run together.
Yep.
So once in a while you hit that wrong one.
Yeah, I'm jumping around between several screens and two devices myself, and sometimes I wind up on something like, wait, what's this? Oh, I haven't seen this before. Oh, I'll just watch this.
All right.
Yes, we do. We do have fun. Now, Pat, last time you were on the show, you mentioned that you were trying to start a writer group there in the new community where you were in the process of moving. How has that been going?
Not very well, actually. I have one person who's been sticking with it. He's a surgeon, by the way. So, and he's interested in writing a short story. And the way I've decided to do it is that we'll both write a short story together, and I'll help him along the way. It hasn't become a real writing group like I would like. The people here are elderly. And, you know, they like to do some things, but some of them can't stick with it very long. So.
Well, you know, they don't have to be elderly for that. I know writers that do that. They've got, you know, four or five manuscripts of half-finished, quarter-finished, two-thirds finished novels that, you know,
sounds
come
amazing.
On, you got to get it done. It's motivation.
Yeah. I know. But the sit-through writing workshop is not as, I guess, fun as bingo. Stuff like that.
You're competing with bingo. Forget it.
Yeah, but writing is such a lonely endeavor. You know, you go down and hang out with the old folks at bingo, you might get to hook up. You never know.
Never know.
Run a few bucks while you're at it.
Yeah. But anyway, it's there. It's going on. And oh, this man is wonderful. He does a Bible study group in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and I belong to that.
Oh.
So I keep up with him there too. So,
well, these kinds of things, sometimes they take a little bit of time to grow. Word gets out. A couple of new people will move into the community, and they'll be perfect fits. So just keep it going.
Right.
Stick at it. And even one person is a good group. Because the two of you make a group, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's better to have a couple of people who are serious and very interested than it is who are just looking for some place to go. And you got snacks. All right, I'll be there. You know.
That's I hadn't thought of the snack angle.
Ooh, well, see, that could be it right there. Right there.
Now, Pat, since Eerie Charms is coming out here pretty soon, going pre-sale tomorrow. Tell us of some of these stories that you got and where the ideas for these came from, because there's a wonderful variety there. And anybody that loves the short story form, you're going to love this one. This is a fantastic collection. So tell us a little bit about the germination of this collection.
Okay, it started back in the 90s when I first started writing. This woman, as I think I mentioned before, this woman was doing, oh no, wait a minute, it wasn't, I don't know who did it, but every week they would put out a new theme, and you could either write a short story with 100 words or 500 words, and maybe there was one with 1,000 words, I'm not sure, but that's how I got the ideas for a lot of this stuff, a lot of these short stories. The first ones I wrote were, Sarpati was one of the first, and probably the most fun short story I've ever, I just howled when I wrote that thing.
That was a fun story.
It's like the fate of the world depends on a snake. I love it. So there,
as a metaphor there. A big one.
Sure. And there's, you know, beautiful picture of that snake, that snakehead. It's so funny. That's so funny looking at that.
Hmm.
And then the slot machine. Well, my friends and I did go to those casinos for a while. And I took in the atmosphere and stuff and wrote a very short story called The Slot Machine. And it, the slot machine decides who's going to win and who's going to lose in there. And it gets into whistles and burrs and dings and things like that. And it's kind of fun. It's short. It's very short.
It is. And the slot machine, the first half of that is in today's newsletter, too. So people scroll down to the bottom. They can read the beginning of the slot machine and get a taste for your writing of that particular story anyway. And hopefully then get interested and go get the book. So I think I'll read the rest of that story. So look for that in today's newsletter.
You know what? I'm not getting a newsletter. I have never gotten one. And I know I subscribe to it. Sorry.
Well, we'll have to have a talk after the show.
Yeah, we will have to remedy that.
Okay, and then there's Broken Toys in the Attic. And that's about a bunch of toys who get revenge on a nasty little girl who likes to break. That was fun. I enjoyed that. There's one scene in there that I took from my childhood. I used to go up the top of the stairs and scream my lungs out, and my father or my mother, one or the other, said, "Are you done yet?" And I'd say, "I'm done." "Well, you can go on that." That was interesting. So I think I got a little bit of that in there. The Fair Lady, I got that from a book of, not fairy tales, but demons, book on demons. And I can't remember. I was looking for the book today, and I couldn't find it, of course. Never can find what I'm looking for when I'm looking for it. But it's about, a fairy who dances men to death.
Ooh.
That's her life. Yeah.
I think I've met her.
But, I mean, I know there's a ballet called Giselle. And that has that theme in it. And I think there's an opera that has that theme in it. So I decided to write The Fair Lady. And The Fair Lady is actually an inn, a bed and breakfast.
Hmm.
So, and No Way Out, that's a story of a couple who get into a train wreck. And they, you know, when they get to the train station, they can't find an exit.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Oh, just I really enjoyed that one too.
Yeah, that's a wonderful collection you've got here.
I like
Thank
how
you.
It's a mix of genres. I mean, you get these kinds of collections, a lot of times they're all sword and sorcery, they're all dragons, they're all mysteries or whatever, and you've got them all mixed up. So each story is a new style, new genre, new way of telling. I like that. I really like those kinds of collections.
Yeah, I'm going to start a new one Monday with this this guy who's in my writing class. And I thought I would, we're going to work on characterization. So I'm going to pick my characters for my next short story, and I'll work with him on how to put together characters and that sort of thing, outline characters, traits and stuff.
Yeah, that's a process that a lot of writers don't recognize that they need to do. But, you know, if you can't build your characters and spend some serious time getting to know them, how are you going to know who they are when you start telling their story?
Yep.
Exactly right. And I've been lucky along the way. I've had some great mentors along the way who have helped me from short periods of time to longer periods of time. But wonderful. I think it was Joanne. Huh?
And I want to take a time. I just want to take a second here and interject something in here. Speaking of what Stephen just said about, you know, taking time and building these characters, today on storyempire.com, go over to storyempire.com, There is an article on that very thing, creating these vivid, real characters. And it's written by D. Wallace Peach, who is an excellent writer. But get over there and check that out if you're an author and you want to learn about, constructing characters that are real, that come to life. Storyempire.com.
Storyempire.com. We've also got Verwayne Greenhoe over on Twitter endorsing our newsletter.
Yeah, just a second. It's actually storyempire.wordpress.com.
.wordpress, so it's a blog. Okay.
Yeah.
Storyempire.wordpress.com. And then Verwayne over on Twitter says, I look forward to Wednesday morning simply because the newsletter gets there at about 8 a.m. He's in the Eastern time zone. I love reading it. Well, we love sending it to you, Verwayne. And
yeah,
as soon as we can figure out why Pat's not getting hers, where she's going
to
love it too.
Oh, listen, it's storyempire dot what?
Dot wordpress.com.
Oh, WordPress.
Yes. And it's the first, the third in a series of these blog pieces that D. Wallace Peach has written, and they're really good. She goes into some pretty good detail.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely like to read that.
Yeah, and D-Wallace Peach will be a guest in a few weeks, too, so we're looking forward
sure
to having her.
Oh, fantastic.
So, Patricia A. Yeah. Guthrie, it's been fun having you on the show again. We're really looking forward to having that eerie charms of the short story, fantasy, mystery, and horror out there in pre-sale, hopefully by tomorrow night, unless, a bug crawls into the works, which is
I will be grabbing a copy of it.
From time to time. I'm looking forward to copy. And I agree with you. I love that cover. I think it's a beautiful cover and it's eye-catching and it's got a right attitude and everything. So we're looking forward to launching another successful book by Patricia A. Guthrie.
Thank you. Yeah.
Indeed.
Great. So who we got on the show next week, Beam?
Well, how about we first, Patricia, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I have a Facebook. I don't remember my handle on Facebook and Twitter. You can just type my name in the search column, and it'll come up. Where else? I am on
Instagram.
Instagram. I'm on Instagram. I'm on, what's that other big one? The business one.
Oh, LinkedIn?
Pinterest?
LinkedIn? Yeah.
LinkedIn.
Okay.
So those are the ones I'm mainly on. I need to find, and this is for anybody who's listening here, I really need to find some smaller, subgroups to work with. So I'm kind of looking for that.
Okay.
And as always, listeners, if you have you need to get a hold of Patricia, you can do that through us. Just go to the Fresh Ink Group website, freshinkgroup.com, and use the contact page and send your message, and we'll make sure she gets it.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot. I do have a web page. I just don't go on there very often, so I need to update it. But it's www.paguthrie.wordpress.com.
All right.
That's your WordPress blog. If they go there, can they find your other social media?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a kind of a one-stop place. If they want to find you in the other places, they can find them all through that blog.
Oh, I do need to update that blog, though. Oh, my gosh, I do.
Yes, you do. Everybody's out here trying to help you promote. No, you got to keep your stuff up to date.
True.
All right.
Thank you.
So next week is Missouri author D. Ike Horst. It's D. period Ike, I-K-E, and the last name Horst, H-O-R-S-T. And he's an interesting guy. So tune in next week and find out a little bit about him. After that,
the week after March 23rd, we're going to do crossovers. RP and JC Carter have a video podcast, Meet the Author, and Stephen Gies. I know that guy. He's going to be the guest that night, and it's going to be 1 hour before our podcast. So when that 1 hour video podcast ends, we're going to go click, 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 click. And I'm going to come over and be the co-host with Beam on this podcast. And then our guests will be RP and JC Carter, the hosts who had just interviewed me in the hour before. They're going to come over and they've got a bunch of books that they write together, Zombie Apocalypse and things like that. So, the Carters, very interesting guests. We're looking forward to having them. And Pat, I think you're probably familiar with them from way back in the day. And who we got after that on March 30th, Beam?
And after that is the aforementioned Dee Wallace Peach. She will be in here, and she's a fantastic writer. She's got a lot of titles under her belt. And as I mentioned, she also writes. She's a member of Story Empire with me and another wonderful group of writers. And she's got, like I said, she's got a lot of books. This is going to be a really fun interview. We've been meaning to get her in here for some time, and she's going to be in here. So
yeah, I used to promote for her way back many years ago when we were both in a club. I've never talked to her personally, never met her, just have exchanged communications with her for years. So I'm really excited about the chance to actually hear her voice and get to know her a little bit better. Dee Wallace Peach, that's going to be good. But anyway, that's the night before my surgery. And with my surgery, they're going to do three entry points, and one of them is through the front of my throat. And they've warned me that I might have trouble talking for a little bit right after that. So what we're going to do is the week after that, we're just going to kind of play it by ear until the surgery and then schedule a show for that week. Or if we need to do a rerun or something like that, we'll do it that way. So right now we're scheduled up through the end of March, and then we're going to play it by ear. And then as we get into April, we've got at least three more books coming out sometime by early to mid-April. Driver education book, how to start a food truck business book, and another one. So we'll try to get those people in here in April and introduce you to them and their works. But again, thanks for being on the show, Patricia. This is always a
thank you.
Thanks, Pat. And
thanks,
listeners. If you've missed any of these episodes or you want to just play them over again, you know, be sure to go and check out the archive. Our archive numbers are really growing, so we are, like, really excited about that. Share the links. Go over to the Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel, freshinkgroup.com. We have a podcast page, stephengees.com, beamweeks.com, and Spotify. Just look for Voice of Indie, and it should pop up. But like I said, the numbers are really starting to blossom, and this is what we've been trying to do. So we thank everybody who listens to this show.
Yes, definitely. Now, as we close out today's show, we're going to roll our last three commercials that we have on the rundown here before the show closing. So we're through talking, but if you want to hear a couple more commercials, stick around for just a few more minutes. And otherwise, thanks again, Pat, and we'll see everybody next week.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Prepare to think as you explore these 19 short stories by author, composer, and producer Stephen Gies. Avoiding any single genre, this collection showcases Gies' storytelling from literary to Southern Gothic to coming of age, allegory, humor, and even fantasy, all finessed to say something about who we are and what we seek. Some of these tales have been passed around for years, others so virgin they have never known the seductive gaze of a reader's eyes. Now, you can go digital, Kindle, Nook, Kobo, iTunes, Google Play, and more, or you can keep it soft with a paperback to whip out in mixed company. Or you can really show off, be the envy of your crowd with a dust jacket and hardcover. Fresh Ink Group is where it's coming from. Amazon and the rest are where it's at. Just point and click, and you too can feel the electric surge of the latest from Stephen Gies. So when life's currents get to pulling too hard, don't fight it. Just open the book and discover 19 new ways of going with the flow. Because now, more than ever, comes this time to float.
If you ever find yourself on a strange highway, don't turn around. Don't panic. Just keep going. You never know what you'll find. Could be an autistic young man conjuring magic with his fingers. or one girl's afternoon leading to a lifetime of loss, demon or angel, a winged man revealing his true nature, a mother's recognition bringing closure to her daughter, sudden death of a teen boy stifling burgeoning secrets, black man's guitar transforming one young boy, decades-old accident bringing a desperate confession, supernatural first love healing a broken family. Head on down the strange highway and see more stories unfold. Need a ride? This book will get you there. Catch an e-book or get on the bus with a nice print edition you can hold and keep, perhaps a full-sized trade paperback, or ride in style with your own dust-jacketed hardcover. Fresh Ink Group's got you covered. You can exit the strange highway and come back anytime you want. See, now you know the way in. Don't be a stranger.
Fresh Ink Group presents, from author Stephen Gies, Been There, Noted That, Essays in Tribute to Life, Observations, Inspiration, Remembrance, and Noteworthies to Share. The simple lives of everyday people in a mundane world prove extraordinary in this collection of 54 personal experience essays by novelist Stephen Gies. The eclectic mix of memoir, commentary, humor, and appreciation covers a wide range of topics, each illustrated by artists and photographers from the Fresh Ink Group. Many of these essays have appeared in other book anthologies such as Chicken Soup, or in popular magazines, newspapers, websites, and the author's site, www.stephengies.com. Some appear in this collection for the first time. Some pieces may resonate in ways that touch you deeply. Others might well remind you of people you've known and loved. Some convey direct messages you might want to pass along, such as appreciation for friendship, birthday wishes, and graduation congratulations. Several explore remembrance, a way to share our search for meaning as we grieve. From cautionary tales to poignant pokes at our uniquely human foibles, Gies catches what many of us miss, then considers how we might all share the most poignant of lessons. Been There, Noted That aims to reveal who we are, examine where we've been, and discover what we dare strive to become. Been There, Noted That, Essays in Tribute to Life, is available worldwide in print editions and ebook editions, including iBook, Kindle, Nook, and more. Been There, Noted That is proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group.
Of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.